I be playing.
Hello and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's week three of the college football season. It's after Labor Day. None of us are wearing white, unless the fashion police come in here and arrest us. But that's probably going to happen anyway, you know, it usually does. And
there's a lot of khaki in this room.
Yeah, really, lots of khaki. And there's a lot of football to talk about, right, coming up. I'm Mark Mayfield, Associate Director for Editorial of the Office of Student Media, and with me are the usual suspects, co-host Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Life here at the University of Alabama, and Andrew Deere, Coordinator of Facilities for University Recreation. And we'll be joined here in just a few minutes by Meredith Cummings, an instructor in the Department of Journalism and Creative Media here at UA, and she'll not only pick some games with us, but we want to talk to her about a 10,000-mile trip she's made to visit dozens of media newsrooms across the USA. The campus, guys, quiet today. Bama's in Oxford, Mississippi.
Away game of the year, which we all look forward to on campus, certainly to get a little bit of a break in some ways. As much as we love home games and the fervor that goes around a busy campus of tailgating and everything else, it's nice to get this early of a break, and especially for a big game, our SEC opener, and an opponent that's kind of had our number a little bit here in the last 4 or 5 years.
It is nice knowing that we get to do the show, go home and just watch football.
Right.
Obviously, we all like getting out and go to the games and tailgating. But it is nice knowing that really we can go home and watch football till our eyes go cross-eyed.
You're not hopping on a plane or private jet to get to one of your beloved games in
Columbia.
Southeastern Louisiana.
You're not going to Vandy or
two minutes into the show and we're talking about Vanderbilt and Notre Dame.
I know your love for the Commodores,
right,
man.
I know.
Come on.
That Western Kentucky Louisville game's got your name all over it. I'm surprised you didn't hop on a plane to get up there.
It does, except for the fact that we lost to Maine last week.
You did.
I don't know if you guys knew that before it went on the big board.
That's
I told you, it's a beautiful country. Up there.
It is.
That's not good. It's really not good.
It's not good. We, I don't know if y'all saw, I tweeted out a picture of like the sky in the background of the campus, and we were up 21-0 in the first quarter, and nothing could bring me down, and we lost and only scored one more touchdown.
They lost because you did that tweet.
You're right. Exactly. I got a little too cocky a little too early against the powerhouse of Maine.
You're talking to somebody who stayed up late watching Florida State escape a loss against Samford at home.
We will talk.
I went to bed when that thing was still out of reach. I went to bed knowing that it was a loss.
We got to talk about that later,
brutal.
Adam.
Yeah.
We got to talk about
it. Your boy Willie.
Well, that is a big game, Florida State at Syracuse today, you know. Your guys, Adam.
It's a tough one.
It is. That's a tough game.
It's a tough one.
That's really going to be tough.
Yeah, that's so sad that I just said that.
I know.
And I meant it.
I know.
You did.
I meant it.
You did.
And a crazy week last week, all across the board.
It was. Absolutely.
As happy as I was to watch that team from Gainesville lose to Kentucky and my boy Mark Stoops.
Right.
At the same time, Florida State was losing to Samford, and so I really didn't kind of get all high and mighty about it because I thought that was going to be a worse loss. But losing to Kentucky in the swamp.
Right.
That's a brutal
loss. How fun was that to watch?
That was great.
It was so much fun.
It was great.
And props to Andrew for smoking us in the picks last week.
I mean, bang bang Duke gang.
Yeah,
I think you're four ahead of me this year.
Your Cutcliffe kick.
I told you guys. It's going to bite me here in a little bit.
It will.
Might not be this week or next week, but
lots of surprises from the board last week. Lots of
lots of surprises.
Lots of wrong picks.
Yeah. It's a great thing about college football,
as there usually are.
But we've got some big games this week. Certainly, again, the Alabama Ole Miss game, Ohio State TCU. USC at Texas. I've got a brother-in-law and some cousins that are out at that Texas game celebrating a 21st birthday for one of my cousins, and they're hanging out in Austin this weekend for the USC-Texas game tonight, so that'll be a big game.
It's a tough game to pick.
It is a tough game. Neither team is exactly where they should be when you say USC-Texas, but...
Right.
This is not 2006.
It is not 2006.
No, not at all.
But they're
not
probably equally down, and so hopefully... Hopefully it is a competitive game.
Vince Young's not walking through that
door.
No,
he is not.
So, yeah, all right.
The game that we misfired on, too, was the Texas A&M game from last week.
Right?
That was a huge game. Probably the most compelling watch last weekend.
Right. That was an outstanding game to watch.
Absolutely outstanding game.
Yeah.
Being a Florida State fan and watching a lot of Jimbo Fisher coach football teams, were you surprised by anything that they did?
So I was surprised at how good they were and how their offense looked like it worked. And I didn't think the Jimbo offense worked at Florida State for years other than the Jameis Winston year, to be honest with you. And the funniest tweet I saw from my Florida State friends on Twitter was the fifth Jimbo Fisher moral victory against Dabo Swinney in the last 5 years, because that was always our thing. We beat Clemson a couple times early, and then Dabo certainly owned us the last 2 or 3 years, and so for him to get another, I mean,
another moral victory.
We've almost already forgotten that A&M lost that game.
Right.
Because they did lose that game. They did not win, but they came back strong and really had some chances there at the end and had some kind of bogus calls. Certainly in my mind and a lot of people's mind. But
the fumble out of the end zone for touchdowns, yeah, that is one of the most brutal calls.
That's brutal, and that's
If it's ever happened to your team, you'll never forget
it. Right, absolutely.
I know. Well, it happened, at the Bama game with Cam Newton, if you remember. I think Ingram fumbled through the end zone. Or
straight
Bama
through,
wins
though.
That game.
It was pretty clear to watch.
Yeah, that was quick. But it would be nice if that rule were just to set you back 15 yards or something. But to give the other team the ball, I don't know.
It's
really
tough.
Brutal.
I get it, but it seems like quite a punishment for something that's pretty darn close to
it. It's just brutal when it happens. Yeah. It's so bad. Yeah. What Mark, what else are you looking at for today?
LSU Auburn, tough pick. Tough pick for me anyway. And Meredith Cummings is going to be on here a little later. I think we were talking a little bit about that game yesterday, really.
Excited to see what Meredith's going to say. I know she said she's got some notes, so
she's bringing intel. That's not allowed in this room.
Normally against the rules.
Yeah, right. That's just not allowed.
Right.
But, she's bringing some good intel in here, so we'll learn something.
Did you all see where some fans or some people have, 35,000 people have signed a petition to release Mike the Tiger from captivity?
I saw that. I'm all for him. Right. I'm all for him. I'm like, come on.
It's a $1 million dwelling that he has.
Yeah.
Really?
It's how much it costs to keep him comfortable in a way that's not against animal regulations and inhumane.
Have you seen him in real life?
Yeah, I have.
I haven't either. I haven't.
I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
Little known fact about me.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a tough game, to pick.
And it is a tough game.
It's going to say a lot about what's going on in the SEC this year.
And Rutgers and Kansas are apparently playing later.
So
we added that to the board.
Can we talk about Kansas? I don't know if we talked about last week. They got their first road win since 2009.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They won
like
31-7.
Charlie Weiss years, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Charlie Weiss was at Notre Dame in 2009.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Both teams are still paying him, right?
No, they are. They are, actually.
Rutgers had a tough go last week, right? They played they looked like an FCS team against Ohio State.
They're not good, Adam.
They're not good at football.
They're not good.
Well, they're not good when there's doubt about whether they can beat Kansas or not.
It's true.
Not good.
You're right.
If that's the case.
If anybody's talking about Rutgers at Kansas, then there's problems on both sides there.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know. That's tough.
This won't be a good football game, but, as a SEC East fan, Vanderbilt at Notre Dame, I've got buddies. I've got buddies that are going to that game. I had to throw it out there. I'm probably going to get a lot of those texts and Snapchats from that game. So,
Andrew, I know you're a little newer to radio than the rest of us, but leading off with this is not going to be a good game, but that we may want to flip that a little bit.
Listeners are probably like, what's he really?
We got to lead with a better tease than this is going to be awful.
Well, I hope, it might be a good game. Who knows? I don't know.
He's trying to save this thing. And that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You're talking yourself into it.
Yeah. Could be.
You never
know. Boise State at Oklahoma State. That's a good game.
That
so
is
I
also
was looking
a game.
On the game day picks from the Crimson White. We've got 3-3 here. So little,
split down the middle,
Yeah, split right down the middle. Pretty crazy.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. What about your Western Kentucky Louisville game there?
I don't feel as a Hilltopper. I don't feel good about it coming off the loss to Maine. Got a lot of work. We have a lot to work on the offensive side of the ball, and Louisville is just better talent wise. Their scheme is it's going to cause us some
problems.
That
6:30 kick is a tough time too. Yeah. There may be a few other things competing for your television.
I might be asking for an ESPN Plus login from a friend.
Email
or something
out
like that.
Get some codes.
Right,
it's a good idea.
Also, a tough game to pick that probably shouldn't be watched is Missouri at Purdue.
Ooh, yeah, you're right.
Shouldn't be watched.
Purdue's
tough
been kind pick, of surprising.
Though.
Tough pick.
They're 0-2.
I thought you were going to say Georgia Tech Pitt.
No.
Yeah.
Adam, that is an Adam Sterrett special.
That,
that I will not watch.
Listen,
one snap
you don't know what it's like in the ACC week after week. Sometimes you got to go to Pitt, man.
Yeah, sure. No doubt about it.
The only way I'd watch that is if Pitt were wearing those royal blue jerseys with the yellow.
Or if Dan
trim.
Marino was there. Yeah, those are great unis.
Those are great uniforms.
They've got a great throwback uni.
They do.
Well, and then, of course, we're going to have Bama, Ole Miss this evening. We'll get into that. We'll break that down here in a while. But for now, let's take a short break. We are going to be back with Meredith Cummings, a multimedia instructor in journalism and creative media here at UA. And also has a new project that took her 10,000 miles across America into newsrooms all over this country, and an incredible project. We'll talk with her in just a few minutes. So come right back with us. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
You are back in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's a pleasure to welcome our special guest today, multimedia expert Meredith Cummings, an excellent writer and just as excellent of an instructor of journalism and creative media here at the University of Alabama. Meredith, welcome to the show. Welcome to your daughter, Isabel.
Hey, y'all. Roll Tide. Yes, roll Tide. I brought my offspring with me. I don't know how many people do that on the show, but we thought we'd have some fun with it.
That's great. Not many. Yeah, that's great.
And she can actually speak to what we're going to talk about today as well.
That's sure. Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk first about this incredible 10,000-mile trip. 10,000 miles on the road, too, right? Didn't you drive all of this?
Yes, I drove all of them.
Yeah.
People think I'm a little bit crazy, and they would think correctly. But I don't know. I think
you
I
fit
get
right
this,
in.
I think I get this from my parents. When I was growing up, they used to take my brother and I, my brother's 5 years younger, on these road trips. We didn't fly places like normal families. We drove. I remember one birthday. I don't remember. I was a teenager. I can't remember exactly how old. I spent maybe 23 of 24 hours in the car. Mm. And it was fun for us. We really enjoyed it. This actually had the opposite effect on my brother. He won't drive anywhere now. He's a flyer only.
He rebelled against
he
it,
did,
right?
He did. He comes to visit from Baton Rouge for game day sometimes, and he will not drive. No, not even that far. So
oof.
I enjoy it, and so it gave me a love of road trips, and Isabel and I take a lot of road trips. Yeah.
Now, when you're on these trips, and we'll get to the journalism here in a second, when you're on these trips, though, do you do side trips to, like, tour stuff other than the work?
Yeah. And Isabel is also homeschooled, which it's a great homeschooling
it's
environment
perfect for that.
To
yeah.
just see so many things. Oh, sure. We don't usually take the same route twice if we go somewhere. We've driven out west to L.A. the last few years, and we always do different things each time. Last time we stopped at the, it's a national park in New Mexico, and you'll be driving for miles in the desert, and then you come up on these magnificently gorgeous, huge sand dunes. And it's, as far as you can see, it's a little disorienting. It's a little like being in the desert of dunes. You can get really lost easily in there, but you can slide down, rent sleds and slide down them.
Wow.
And I mean, that was just one of the many things we've done. But we have fun. We do.
So do you have stories from your childhood about, like, doing these road trips in unair-conditioned station wagons and stuff?
Yeah,
and you tell her
I
how
sure
much better
do.
She has
you
it
know,
now with technology
from
and
two
air
years
conditioning? Oh, right?
Yeah, we have. So, I grew up, my dad drove a, 57 Ford Fairlane
there
with
you
no
go.
Air condition. And so I grew up with no air. And on our very first, I think it was 3 years ago, our very first road trip out to California, we were complete ignorance really is bliss mm-hmm. because we got to somewhere around Shreveport and the AC died on my little Volvo wagon and which I love because it survived the 2011 tornado and all kinds of stuff. It's a great car, but the air died and I was like, well, you know, we have enough money to it's very expensive to fix or we can just keep going and do this trip. So let's keep going and do this trip. We got to the Mojave.
The Death Valley.
And realized perhaps this wasn't the best course of action.
Maybe the Pacific Northwest or maybe somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so when you're on the road and you've got the windows down, you've got a really good breeze going. It's fine. But in the Mojave, there was an accident and we were stopped still. And I saw the car thermometer creep up to 100, 103, 104, 110. 112, got up to 123. Mm. And in my life, I've never been that
right.
high. I thought I was going to literally going to pass out. And I see now why in the Bible, there are lots of things happening in the desert to do with perhaps seeing things. And I see now why there were visions and hallucinations. But we made it. We did it. I kept saying just that, you know, just what Adam was saying, like, I grew up with no air conditioning. We can do this. Tough it up. We're fine.
My family used to drive every summer from Lewiston, Maine to Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
in a station wagon with little AC and leather seats that you're stuck to and everything, or vinyl seats, you know. And my kids can't last 3 hours between here and Atlanta. And they've got iPads and they've got screens in the back and air conditioning. It's like, listen, kids.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we have fun. We do. They're good. They're mostly good times. That was an anomaly.
Yeah, but it's still a story for the rest of your life, right?
Yep.
Even the times that you had visions and heat stroke.
I could say in the olden days, I used to not have air conditioning.
There you go, right. In the olden 3 years ago, back in the '05.
Yeah. In the Mojave.
Right,
no
in the Mojave.
Right? Yeah, that's great. That's serious no air conditioning, right? Mm-hmm. No. Anyway, Well, let's talk a bit about the newsroom project. You've just published this nationally, this article you've just written, published in the Society of Professional Journalists magazine Quill, and sort of rounding up the entire thing. But you went into dozens of newsrooms, right?
Dozens and dozens, and some of them even aren't even on the stop. There's a map. So I'm on Twitter. I'm Mare Cummings at Mare Cummings, M-E-R-E Cummings, and you can just my pinned tweet is the map, which just shows everywhere I went.
Promo.
There are some things. Yeah, that was a good promo. So there were some things that I didn't even put on that map, but I tried to visit. I'll just tell a little about the genesis of this. So I found that, having worked in a lot of newsrooms, having moved 13 times in my career and been in a lot of different types of newsrooms, television and print and web and you name it, I realized that kind of what the public was saying and some of my intro students and my non-journalism majors were saying didn't really sync with what I had seen to be my experience in newsrooms. They were saying, and I don't fault them for this. I think it's just an education thing. I mean, I'm an educator, so I want to educate people. But people often lump the media together. The media this. And it's usually when they're angry at us and mad for some reason. Ah, the media can't get anything right. Or, the media. I sound like this, my curmudgeonly old man. channeling my grandfather. But they talk about the media like that. And in my experience, and they also very much stereotype and generalize the liberal media, for example. And in my experience, that's not true. There, people in the media are all different ethnicities and colors and cultures, and we are Republican and Democrat and progressive and conservative, and we are all religions. And I've worked in such diversity in my time, so I started this trip to sort of see if what I thought was true in my experience was actually true, just in random places where I didn't know people, where I hadn't worked. So I visited newsrooms, big and small, cutting edge and traditional. I visited, weekly dailies, and I visited big outlets like BuzzFeed and Sports Illustrated and Bleacher Report. I visited street newspapers run by and for homeless people. I spent some time on the Navajo Reservation in Arizona. So visiting a paper there and a website there. So I've had a lot of different types of places I've visited, and boy, y'all, the characters I have met and the things I have seen, and my car, God love it, it just keeps going. It made the whole 10,000 mile trip.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I should do Volvo commercials.
You should.
Could be a Volvo commercial.
This could
right
be.
Now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're losing and picking up sponsors every week, so maybe this is a new avenue.
There we go. Whole new market for us, and we're going to automotive market.
Well, and I have to say, I don't get attached to cars. I'm not a car kind of gal. That's not my thing, but I really feel like after the 2011 tornado, we lost our house, and they cinder block wall in the car. I had an SUV upside down in front of my house, but that car had trees through it and out it, and cinder block walls on it, and it was perfect when everything came off. It was beautiful. So I'm attached to that car now. She's my baby.
That's great. That's great. Well, newsrooms. I mean, newspapers, especially print newspapers, have had a tough go. They have layoffs, that kind of thing. What's the mood out there? You found in newsrooms among what's the morale, the mood? How's that part of it?
Undaunted. The mood is really undaunted. Actually, I thought I'd find a lot of angry journalists. I really did. I thought I'd find a lot of angry journalists, not just because of that, but because of the climate that President Trump and many politicians have created for us, more so in the recent past. But they are undaunted. And this is a great example of what I thought to be true. I visited a paper in Texas, in Lewisville, Texas, and the man who runs it actually had a website since like 2002. I mean, he's been up and running for a while. He, a few years ago, started a weekly newspaper. When everybody else was running out of the burning building of newspapers, he was running in, and it's wildly successful because he's in the shadow of the Dallas-Fort Worth market, and nobody's covering his community. And so he is, and it's literally a mom-and-pop situation. It's he and his wife. They have a couple of employees, and they put the paper out themselves. They get up at 4 a.m. to go deliver it. And he is interesting, too, because I called him the Clark Kent of journalism, because by day, he's a computer programmer. This isn't even his background. He's had one high school journalism class. Yet here he is publishing a newspaper and a website all the time. So that, yes, newspapers are struggling and they are dying, but there are these niche markets that are still thriving, especially community journalism. And I find that to be true in Alabama, especially. Yeah. Our community journalism in this state is just really thriving.
Yeah.
So the hyper-localized aspect, is that similar to what you saw like on the Navajo Reservation and some of those communities where that paper is the only thing that they have, right? Tying the community together.
And the editor of that paper was particularly proud that they are all Navajo, all the people working there are. And we talk a lot about diversity on the road. I talk to every media outlet about diversity and what that means. And for him, he pointed out that means he would need to bring in outside people, you know, white girls like me to come do the reporting. But he was really proud of that. And at that particular outlet, everyone I talked to said, yeah, nobody covers these Navajo, these issues specific to us and this tribe. And nobody's covering that. And if we don't do it, you know, CNN's not going to do it. Fox News isn't going to do it. MSNBC, New York Times, they're not really going to pick up the local daily issues that are really affecting people.
Right. Absolutely.
So there's a healthy climate.
Yep. Well, in terms of students, you know, because you teach, and, you know, we have students here at Student Media that obviously they're all looking for journalism jobs, you know, in the future. Not all, but most of them are looking for journalism jobs in the future. And I tell them often that, you know, in my experience that, you know, there's always opportunity when things are changing, you know, that particularly for young journalists and the digital media world is becoming massive. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that in terms of your own students and where they're going after they graduate, or are they getting jobs, or what do you think? You know,
they are getting jobs. I see that in them. I try to also, as best I can, lead by example. I'm an old dog who's learned new tricks. You know, I started as a writer and at newspapers, and now I, for example, on my road trip, I was shooting video and I was taking photographs, and I've done a lot of magazine
I was shooting
work.
Some video too.
Isabel was shooting
video.
Yes, credit where credit is due. Isabel helped a lot. And so they are getting jobs, you know, maybe not in the traditional way that their parents or grandparents might have thought of journalism. I get a lot of nervous parents in my office. You know, I don't want my child to major in journalism, and I want them to have a job. And I think, you know, social media management is huge, and analytics and metrics and that sort of thing is something that, you know, I didn't grow up with. We weren't teaching that when I was at the university because it didn't exist yet. There's so many jobs now, and they need to be good multimedia journalists. It's nice to have a specialty, but they need to know how to do all of it, and they are learning how to do all of it, from data journalism to good old-fashioned, you know, hit the ground reporting, get out from behind the desk and go see the community that you're in and get to know the people, because it's really all about the people. Everything's about the people.
I think that's interesting. We talk to engineering students all the time about how we're preparing students to go into a field that in 5 years, whatever job they're looking at now isn't going to exist. And so you have to be that forward thinking and be skill based. But communication exact same at this point. And I know I was a mass media student, and I think we were tagged newspaper, television, and film. And none of those things are the same as they were. And so whatever we studied about newspaper, television, and film is in no way relatable to a Netflix, watch on demand, newspapers going away, certainly in some degrees. And so they didn't teach us that way. We were really taught about those kind of big old institutions. But communication is another field that you've got to teach people to adapt and to figure it out as things go, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Netflix. These streaming services have opened up so many jobs as well for our graduates. And YouTube is thriving. You know, we have a lot of students that go work for YouTube creators. Even maybe they're just editing video for creators or you know, working on original shows for Netflix and Hulu, reality they call it unscripted television in LA, but reality
it's not
television is what it is.
I'll bet you, Isabel, the notion of me waiting to watch a network television show that happens on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock and me watching it Tuesdays at 8 week after week, that is completely foreign to your world, right?
Right.
I mean, that makes me sound like the oldest person in the world, right? That's just not a reality that you will ever have in your life.
Pretty true. I watch YouTube as a lot of my, like, TV type things, and then I watch Netflix. I don't do cable or anything like that.
She is a UA student and keeps me cool with the kids.
It's helpful, right? Yeah, I'm sure. That's what we have young Andrew on the show for. But sometimes he kind of outpaces us. Frankly.
I still have friends in my age group, old people, who don't text. I'm like, who doesn't text? But you know, I forget. I mean, being around a college campus. You know, that's how you reach students.
Right.
All those things, all the sort of things. And then I realized the people my age and my generation who are out there, who aren't around young people every day,
they don't
do some of this stuff that's just natural You know, I remember my own daughter saying one time when I first started texting, I said, Dad, will you quit signing it as Dad?
Right.
I know it's,
I know it's coming from Dad.
Like that stuff.
Well, I've always talked about my mom being the hippest, and she's 75 years old because she's had a Netflix account forever. But I realized last week that she still has the Netflix where they send her DVDs. And so that you don't even – I mean, Isabel doesn't even know that that's a part of Netflix, right?
I'm just like, what?
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah, we went to VidCon, which is a YouTube creators convention the last couple of years. And she keeps me cool by taking me to things like
that. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, great. Thank you so much, Meredith and Isabel. That was fascinating. We're going to be right back. Meredith has got some fearless picks here, and we'll be right back here on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Ballad Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to 90.7 The Capstone. We've been talking with Meredith Cummings, instructor for journalism and multimedia here at UA. Really excited to have her in the show. Meredith, we've got some picks coming up for you. First of all, before we get started, are you ready?
I'm ready. Y'all, I'm in a group of the former Crimson White editors over the years, and we all do this every week. For me, it's like a process. Like, I have maps, and it's like a war room with, like, maps and charts, and I look up the weather and the turf, and, yeah, I'm very methodical about things. I can't go by gut.
See Adam, but he's pulling on his collar right now.
There's not a lot of video of our particular war room. Right. It looks like a war happened, but not really football related.
Yeah, let me set the stage, folks, for listening. She's got some notes here.
Right.
So we'll just go ahead and dive. Dive into them. 11 a.m. on ESPN, right after game day, right after our show.
Right.
We've got Florida State at Syracuse. What are your thoughts, Meredith?
Yeah. So, FSU. I'm going to have to go with FSU. They have really good recruits. They're mobile. They want to bounce back from last week.
Great school of communication there, right?
As you mentioned, they do.
They produce fantastic graduates that go on to really change the world.
They do, in fact. We have many here.
Five Sterrett family degrees from the school of communication there. Brother, sister.
Nice.
I only have one. They both have two.
It's a family affair.
And fantastic. Look at me. I'm the one still working in communication.
Yeah, how about you?
Absolutely.
Quote, unquote, working. Yeah. So I'm sorry. This is not about me, Meredith. This is about you.
I'm thinking about my friends that go to FSU and how we have to fight when Alabama plays FSU. So now I'm down that rabbit hole. I think, though, if the spirit of the Saltine Warrior shows up for the Orange Men, Florida State could have a really long day.
Okay.
I think it'll be closer than a lot of people think. FSU has a lot of talent. Syracuse is a basketball school, let's face it.
Right.
I just angered some people probably, but that's kind of how I think
Don
of it.
We're big in the New York market.
And so I'm picking FSU, but I do think it'll be closer than maybe some people think.
Syracuse is like a world-class communication department, right?
It is not.
They're really, really
good
up there.
School. Yeah, one of our instructors she's got her master's from Syracuse, and actually another one has from Florida State. So we're friendly.
Yeah, that's
we
good.
Try not to be too hostile.
Awesome. Staying with 11 a.m., we have Rutgers at Kansas. Huge game.
Oh, you guys.
Massive.
Massive game.
Calling this game a dog would be kind.
I'm so glad y'all set that up earlier because it was making me laugh. I'm picking Kansas, but just because they're the lesser of the evils.
There
it's like the French fighting the Swiss. It's like the team that can't fight versus the team that won't fight.
That's good.
The Pac-12, Big Ten sucked anything out of Kansas potential recruiting, and I feel like it's depleted, and so this is really mean, but to me it's a little like the last, and I'm being stereotypical, this is not true for everyone in every school, but like at recess when the last two kind of nerdy, unathletic kids, I was probably one of them, are left. That's kind of how I think about this game. It's those last two kids.
Right.
You heard it here first, folks.
This is great.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's now, Kansas, if that comes true and they win with your pick, that's two in a row for Kansas. I'm not sure. The earth might end at that point. I'm not really
sure
about that.
To handle.
I can't wait. I feel like the Scarlet Knights will be a little... Scarlet Letter when this is over, a little walk of shame for them.
There we go. There we go.
We'll see.
There you go. So 2:30 p.m. LSU at Auburn. Really one of the biggest games of the day here.
Ooh, y'all, this one's tough for me. So my brother lives in Baton Rouge, but he's a Bama grad. But I feel very steeped in that culture down there. Also, this is problematic for me because unlike many of my friends, I'm an all SEC all the time girl. Like I always root for the SEC, even Auburn, unless we're playing them.
Yep.
And I just have to go with Auburn here. I feel like the LSU coaching is unproven. Auburn's coming off two really big victories, big points-wise, victories, Washington, Alabama State. And they're at home, and they've got a pretty proven quarterback. Good offense, pretty good defense. So I'm going to stick with Auburn. It pains me, and I know many of my friends are throwing things at the radio right now. Right.
Well, you can't pick a good winner there.
It is.
We're all losers in this game. What about Boise State at Oklahoma State? This is a real barn burner.
OSU is going to have this game won by halftime. I feel like
that's a fearless pick.
That is.
I feel like Boise State lost their best weapon when Chris Peterson went to took the Washington job. I feel like that's...
Well, you might be right.
Yeah. We'll see. The green field.
And this is a green field. They're a little out of their element.
No longer ducks on the pond.
Right.
What about Houston at Texas Tech?
This one's kind of a shootout. I have trouble with this. Houston's chock full of talent. They got a lot of firepower, good all around. But they play with a chip on the shoulder because I think they're often overlooked. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech is a historically good team. I just don't think they have enough depth, talent, and speed to beat Houston. So,
got Houston on the road, huh?
Yeah, I think it'll be high scoring too. I think that over/under is going to be really high.
Yep,
I like it
as it should be.
Right, right. Yeah. Let's skip over our game for a minute, right? Okay. Let's go to Ohio State TCU. A big game, the last game of Urban Meyer's suspension.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's going to pull away about halfway through the third quarter. I feel like Ohio State's, you know, despite the fact that I feel they're always overrated, just like their head coach. Just like their head coach. I'm throwing stones, y'all. I can't help it.
It's fine. We'll take it.
Also, has anybody noticed that he looks just like the president of Syria? Just go Google it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I'm going to have to do it right now.
Yeah.
Andrew's got the Google
Bashar
on.
Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria. Every time I see him, you put a picture of him next to Urban Meyer and tell him I'm wrong. I'm telling you.
That's good. This game is in Jerry Dome, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about USC Texas? Another perennial kind of big game, but, you know, two programs that are a little bit down.
I feel like USC is going to mop the floor with Texas. Ooh. The Pac-12 has too much speed and is going to wear them down. You can't beat what you can't catch.
You know, we always hedge around here. I'll pick them. But you're committing here, and this is great. You're much more fearless than the rest of us.
That's why we have special guests.
Absolutely.
Because we're not so great.
Yep.
Washington at Utah is also a football game.
It is a football game.
And it's going to happen tonight.
Going back to my original Chris Peterson comment, I'm picking Washington.
Okay. I feel like you have to after.
You got to go with Peterson. Yeah, you're all in on the Peterson train.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Fresno State, the other FSU, at Chip Kelly's really confused UCLA team.
Oh, yeah.
This is something, right, Andrew?
It's something else, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Pac-12 after dark. FS1, so it's going to be really terribly covered.
It's going to be awful.
It's going to be awful to watch and awful to listen to. Meredith, I'm sure you've got a hot take on
it. Yeah, I'll be doing something else then.
Yeah,
but I feel like UCLA, I got to go with UCLA. The history and the traditions, but you got to watch out for those Fresno State Bulldogs. They'll bite you if you're not looking. I think it'll be a close game. You know, I don't know, spread, maybe six. I'm not sure, but I feel like it'll be close. I'm still going to stick with UCLA.
Okay.
All right.
That's a tough pick, I think.
That is.
Cleaning my house or washing my hair.
Yeah, there you go.
Something else.
Or going to
anything
bed.
Else. Yeah, go to sleep.
Late.
I'll be asleep by the hours by now. All right, we've got one more big game left here. We've got Alabama heading to Oxford. Ole Miss, a team that is, as much as any team in the country, has had our number over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. This has been the team. I don't think a lot of people are picking Ole Miss in the rest of the media. What do you have?
Yeah,
here,
I'm going to have to stick with that too. I have to pick Bama. I think Ole Miss is going to play harder at home to save face and defend their house, but I think we're going to Airbnb that sucker. I feel like Ole Miss is out to prove they're not the doormat to the Crimson Tide. And thank goodness the last time they beat us, I was literally in Disneyland. They were closing for the night. They were trying to kick us all out, and I was watching on my phone. And had I not been in the happiest place on earth, I would have been crying.
Yeah.
It was rough, but
because I was crying in the stadium here. If that's the one, the big high scoring game, or you think,
was
that the quarter?
The one where we quarterback flip-flop. Bama fumbled like five times.
Oh, it was rough.
Coker almost brought Bama back at the end, but didn't do it.
She's right.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. You said what?
I said she's
I want
right.
All my friends to hear that.
Young Andrews checked the Google.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Can you pronounce his name?
Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah.
Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah,
he does. He looks
good stuff.
Like
that's some bad radio for you there, but that's okay.
But, you know, the fake Urban Meyer Twitter account is really fun to follow. You are not following it. It's far more interesting if you follow fake Urban Meyer and Shelley Meyer.
I'm
the
still
real
doing
Shelley,
the faux really Bo Pelini.
Oh, faux Bo Pelini is really good, too.
It's still going.
Pretty much the rule on Twitter is follow the fake accounts. The real ones are nowhere near as interesting
they're boring.
As the actual parody accounts.
Yeah. Well, just quickly, if somebody who looks like somebody, the sheriff in the new
the second series of Ozark. I don't know if y'all seen that.
Jason Bateman.
Sheriff looks like Saban.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You know, they're not totally like him, but it's when he turns in profile shot, looks like Nick Saban.
If you go into Ram and Jammers, I did a here on campus, I did a story about Nick Saban lookalike Gary, who used to own that place. He's still around. And there's if you walk in right on the left, the article and the photos are on the wall, and I have a side by side of the two of them, and it is just a dead
ringer. That's good. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen it and read it.
Gary said that he'll occasionally, he doesn't want to, but especially with children, somebody asks him to sign an autograph, just sign it.
That's really funny. That's awesome.
That's great.
Not to disappoint.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Meredith. We really appreciate you being here.
Some
really, really great stuff. Some great picks and analysis. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We will be back with our Fearless Picks.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hello, and welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We're going to pick, Meredith Cummings just made her outstanding picks with real intel,
we'll
not
see.
The false intel, the fake intel we bring in here. But Meredith's joining us again for this segment a little bit. And Meredith, again, your picks were great, and it's good to have you here.
Thank you. I was noticing that Auburn pick, I know that was tough, and I know a lot of my friends hate me for picking Auburn, but I was looking at the Crimson White. And Ben, James, Jonathan, and the other James Squared,
right,
Ben and
right.
Jonathan all also picked Auburn, and they're all my students right now. I have assure you I had nothing to do with that. Cody and RJ also have been my students. Cody, RJ, I'm a little disappointed in y'all. Why are you picking LSU? That's not right.
There we
don't
go.
Do that.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. One of us might. We'll see here in a
you
second.
You never know.
So. All right, well, let's look at the games around the country. And Meredith, just chime in there as well whenever you need to. You made some great picks. Gave me some food for thought because, honestly, I'm not still sure about the LSU already.
I'm not either.
So I'm thinking about this. But we shall see. All right, guys, 11 a.m. here in just a few minutes, really. Oklahoma begins. Oklahoma's at Iowa State, Ames, Iowa, right?
I've got the Sooners big in this one.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, so do I. That's gonna be a blowout of monumental proportions. Well, a blowout's always monumental.
Right? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, being a little redundant
by definition.
There.
That was a journalist thing you just did.
Right.
Editing
your
speech, that's what that was.
Yeah, editing on the radio.
Editing as you go.
Right. Thank goodness it's not print. I'd be stuck with the original comment. Right? Okay, we talked with Meredith a little earlier about this game. Adam, your Seminoles are struggling a bit. Now they got to go play the Orange Men.
It's true. So you want me to pick this? So
yeah.
I think
it's what we do, Adam.
I thought we were here for the inside jokes about journalism.
There we go.
You come for the picks, you stay for the journalism inside jokes.
Absolutely.
I think Florida State's going to lose. They have not shown me any reason that they're going to win.
Oof.
The articles that I've read are alluding to some kind of, once it clicks, it's really going to click. And I don't see anything anywhere close to clicking. So I think we lose a close game to Syracuse.
So you're right. Nothing has shown us
that
they're going
to win. It's kind of a masochistic kind of attitude, too.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to be positive about this. I'm going to be optimistic. I think Florida State is going to – I think they're going to rally this week.
Really?
Yeah. I could be wrong.
All right. Well, I'm with Adam on this one, and Meredith, you picked Syracuse. Florida State.
SC.
You did. I'm going with the Orange Men. I think because it's there, and I think Syracuse has beaten Florida State when Florida State was better. Before. So I think they can do it again, and that can be a tough place to play.
I mean, we struggled against Samford, who I told my friends is like the fourth best team in Birmingham.
That was a
you know,
game.
Like I think we'd have more trouble against Hoover High than we would have against Samford. And anyway,
it's possible. Yeah. Probably would.
Right.
I know. Yeah.
So Rutgers at Kansas. This is also a game that is on the list. I don't know what to do here. Mark, you got something here?
Well, both of them are such losers that, they're can they tie? Can they just tie? I don't know.
We have thrown so much shade at this game.
The New York market is important for us, Mark.
But I'm going with Kansas just because I want them to win. I want the story of them. They did beat Central Michigan, which used to be a good football team last week. Rutgers got blown out by Ohio State, but Ohio State's a very good football team. So
Central Michigan has played in like 17 Little Caesars Bowls.
I know. 2012, guess who was there?
I know
this
you were
guy.
There, buddy.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
A lot of Little Caesars pizza that weekend.
Far too much.
Who have you guys got? I'm Kansas.
I'm going Rock Chalk Jayhawk. I'm going with Kansas.
There we go.
Just because they're home and they're coming off a road win.
So I think Rutgers is going to win. I think Rutgers is the better team. I think
just gasped audibly. I'm sorry.
They got beaten so badly by Ohio State. I'm going with the Big City.
Such
Rutgers
a shocking
team.
Pick.
It is shocking.
It was.
All right. We gotta run through these pretty quickly. Georgia Tech at Pittsburgh.
Adam Sterrett special. It is. Just go ahead.
I'm going all Pitt at home.
Wow. Yeah, same. I'm going as well.
I'm going Tech, Georgia Tech. I keep picking them. They keep losing.
I was waiting for you to pick that one.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. This is your game, Andrew. What can I say?
Vanderbilt at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to win big.
It's a lot of tuition in this game.
A lot of tuition. A lot of brain eggs in this game.
Smart game. Really great schools.
Yeah,
really absolutely. Bad football.
Bad football. Smart game.
Well, not on Notre Dame's part, but yeah.
Right, correct.
Although, who knows? I'm hoping we're all wrong. I'd love to see Vandy win, but yeah, Notre Dame, awesome. You're right. They're going to blow them out. All right.
The SEC special here, LSU at Auburn. I think this is not as tough of a pick. I think what we saw in the LSU-Miami game was Miami being pretty awful, and I think Auburn at home, much like Meredith said, they've got a better quarterback. They're at home. Sadly, I think they win this game, and I don't think it's close in the second half at all. I think maybe in the first, but certainly not in the second.
Yeah, I'm going with Auburn as well. They're just a better football team.
Yeah.
And they're at home. Jordan Hare's a tough place to play.
I'm going Gus Bus too. I think they win at home, and I'm sort of the same way. I think Auburn will pull away in the second half, but I would love to be wrong in this game.
Yep, absolutely.
I really would. So anyway,
we got Boise State.
Because also it'd be a good story with Coach O and LSU. Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry, I tried to jump the gun there. We got Boise State at Oklahoma State. Kind of a tough game too. I'm going to go ahead and say my pick: Oklahoma State at home. The Cowboys.
I'm with the Cowboys.
Yeah,
I'm going Boise. I'm doing fearless Boise this time. I'm going with the
Greenfield and all.
Yeah, the men of blue from Idaho. I'm going with them, and there we'll see. I don't know why exactly, except it is a good program. They're not as good. I think Meredith's right. Once Chris Peterson left, they're not as good of a program, but they're still a good football team.
Yeah.
And Oak State. Oak State will either blow him out or Boise will beat him close, and I think Boise will beat him close.
He's a man. He's
there. There we go. The FS1 230 special that we're all excited about. We have Duke at Baylor. More tuition dollars here.
Oh, gosh, so much tuition.
I'm going Duke as well.
I'm going all Duke. Yeah, you're beloved Dukey Blue Devils.
How can I go against Duke at this point?
Duke here. Once they beat Northwestern, I said, that's it. I'm going to pick them every time.
Yep.
There we go. North Texas at Arkansas.
Arkansas.
All right.
Goodbye.
Got that. Colorado State at Florida. Does anybody care about this game?
No, even the Florida fans. This pick is actually tougher than you think. The Fighting Bobos at Florida, right?
The Gators are going to win at home.
So, yeah, I think they're going to come back this week and win at home.
Yeah. All right, Houston, Texas Tech. This is a tough pick for me.
Yeah.
And I think Meredith went with Houston on this.
For the same reason, I'm going to go with Houston as well. I just don't trust Texas Tech to win a football game.
So I don't either, but I'm going to go Red Raiders. I think at home that they're going to win a shootout against Houston, and it's going to be like 45-36 or something ridiculous.
All right.
Yeah. It's only about a seven-hour drive from Houston to Lubbock. It's a big state.
Prediction is over under at 90.
You're not wrong. That's a lot of points.
I'm going Houston on this one. So I think Meredith's right. There's going to be no defense. I'm not even sure the defense will even show up on the field. It may just be offense is just taking the ball and running with it. We'll skip over Alabama, Ole Miss. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Missouri at Purdue.
This is a stinker, isn't it?
This is a stinker. I'm going with Purdue against my better judgment.
Right?
I think Missouri probably is a better team at this point, though. At least have more talent. So I'm going Purdue at home. They're 0-2. They need a win. If they go 0-3, Jeff Brohm, his stock really, really takes a hit, I think.
Stock, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going Purdue. I don't know why. I'm going Purdue.
I don't like the fact that I chose
because I've got to pick one.
All right. I'm going Mizzou. Mizzou
right,
for me.
Mizzou.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the Andrew Deere special. I need to have with y'all someday about why they shouldn't be in the SEC, but that will just
Next time you're on, we can definitely have that conversation.
All right.
West Kentucky, Louisville, fellas. It's Louisville. That's the right pick. It hurts. We obviously are not a pro Bobby Petrino radio show here. At least personally, I can say that. But Western's going to lose.
I think Louisville's got enough.
I'm going Louisville, too. And I wish I'd love to see your WKU folks pull the upset.
I would, too. More than anything, Mark.
Yeah. All right. The Ohio State TCU, big game.
I like Ohio State in this game. You know, I think they're going to rally around the fact that this is Urban Meyer's last game suspended. They're just a more talented team. Yeah. I think they're just a little better. Adam?
So I think they're better, too. I don't think TCU this year is a magical TCU team, and I think Ohio State's going to beat them there in the Jerry Dome. And, I think they're going to win.
Frog
legs. Yep. Ohio State here, too. Yep, absolutely.
See frog legs?
I said frog legs.
That's good. Yeah.
All right, Washington, the Huskies at Utah. This could be a tough game for Washington, but it's not the same Utah team that beat Alabama, though, years ago.
I think it may be a different team than that team. Washington's going to win here. I think it's going to be an easy game.
I like the Huskies.
Coming full circle, my journalism road trip, I did see the Utah Stadium.
Yeah.
And my only comment driving in past it was, it's like a tiny little Bryant Denny because it has the same colors. Like it's sort of red and white, but it was like a dollhouse version of Bryant Denny.
That's awesome.
All right. I'm going Washington, too. Fresno State at UCLA.
I think Chip Kelly gets his win here.
I think he does,
too. Chip Kelly gets his win.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to, 1-2 after this?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And then a little Pac-12 after dark. Arizona State at San Diego State. Herm and his bunch. Are they going to win
again?
Got
a big win last week, right?
Wait, hey, I'm going Fresno State on UCLA.
You are? All right.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Mark. I just jumped the gun there. Got really excited.
We've already replaced Mark with Meredith.
Mark, you do matter. Yeah.
You guys are both.
We love you.
Yes, Mark with Meredith, but you do matter.
You guys are both picking UCLA.
We are.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Arizona. Yeah. And back to that game, Andrew. Arizona State.
I'm taking Herm and his
bunch. Sun Devils over Aztecs, right?
At this point, how can you go against them?
Yep.
Take the hype machine.
Now, did we skip over USC Texas?
We did skip over USC Texas.
We're saving it for the end.
We are, because that's equally relevant, I guess.
I think we talked about earlier in the show, both teams are pretty down right now. Historically, it's not 2006, it's 2018.
Right.
I'm taking USC. I feel like they're a little more established at this point than Texas.
I agree. USC on the road.
I'm taking the Trojans.
I'm taking the Trojans, too. I am. I just don't think Texas, I think we're going to find out Tom Herman might not be as great as people thought he was.
It's going to take time. I mean, year two.
But it's been taking time for like a decade.
Yeah.
So how much of that is Texas and their relevance currently, and how much of that is the coaches?
I don't know. Texas has never been the same since Bama beat them in the national championship game. They went downhill fast after that. Yep. So it's all because of Colt got injured, right?
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, he had a dead shoulder.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Look, that'll do it for these games around the country, but let's come back. We want to talk about Alabama, Ole Miss, and we'll all pick a score here. So we'll do that. So we'll be right back. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. So it's Alabama taking on the Land Sharks, Black Bears, Rebels, whatever they are today in Oxford, Mississippi. 6 p.m. this evening. I'm sure what do they call it, the Grove or something?
They call it the Grove.
Yeah, they love
that.
That
is what they call it.
Well, they win the tailgate party every time. They do. No matter what happens in the game.
Not a trophy for that, is there?
There probably is, actually. Knowing Ole Miss, they probably actually do have a trophy.
I will say this about the Grove. It truly is. It lives up to the hype. Yeah. And not many things do these days when people talk about it. But the Grove, it's wild.
It is wild.
And it's special.
And they bring in all kinds of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Although I am going to call the fashion cops on them every now and then with some of the chandeliers they bring in.
They're pretty uppity about that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah, it's a little over the top, but it is fantastic, and it's a great place for college football. It really is. The campus is great, so, you know, and it's a smaller stadium, all those things. You know, it's kind of a throwback.
I would like to say, before we actually get started talking about the game, for everything that Hugh Freeze did, he made this rivalry relevant. Somewhat a rivalry at all.
Right.
So I think this is why, obviously, Ole Miss beating Alabama a few years ago back-to-back made this game a little special. I know the older students that are here, if you ask them, hey, who you really dislike, Ole Miss is at the top of that list because of the couple games that they beat Alabama a few years ago.
That's really interesting. You're right, because I've always liked Ole Miss.
Yeah, because they've never been a threat, right?
But they haven't been a threat. You're right. So that's kind of, I guess, with new people, the young people in school now, They really don't like Ole Miss. They've known is Ole Miss winning a couple of these
right.
games.
Right.
And not all the big, long streak of Bama beating them every year.
Right. You know? Obviously, last year was not the case. That was not the case. But Ole Miss is an improved team coming into this game. I don't think it'll be a 60-point win. But, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
With all the talk of this offense for Alabama and how we've never seen an offense like this, and, you know, do you ever see it slowing down or being able to be stopped? Or do you see anybody being able to win in a shootout with us? This is the first chance, I think, of seeing another team be able to play with us. And I think it'll be interesting to see how successful we are at that. Like you're saying, we're not going to win by 60 points, certainly. Right. But is it I think it's a 21-point favorite at this point or something.
Yeah, so it is.
A 3 or 4 touchdown win, a 24-point win against Ole Miss on the road would be a huge victory for us the last 5 years.
It would. Ole Miss is averaging their first two games 61 points a game. I mean, this is an offense. Now, they haven't played any great defense. But they do have – everybody says these receivers, Metcalf, Brown, you know, they're all like NFL caliber receivers. I mean, they do have real, you know, that offense is for real in a way. Now they're going to play, they're not going to score 61 points today. Let's put it that way. But it's going to be interesting. And does Alabama get into a shootout with this team?
Right.
I mean, do we see that?
That's a great question. My roommate is an Ole Miss grad. I've watched both Ole Miss games almost in their entirety the past couple weeks. That offense, Adam's making a face, which is really funny. That offense is legit.
It's a lot of Ole Miss to watch.
Like you said, DK Metcalf, Brown, their receivers are the best you're going to find around. So I think the young Alabama secondary is going to be tested. But ultimately, I think that defense makes adjustments. Alabama defense makes adjustments and really tightens up at some point. But just the unknowns in this game makes a little unnerving, but also a little bit of fun, right? We talk every week about Alabama probably coming in and winning the game. We all think, I'm sure, that Alabama's going to win. But the unknown of that offense and the unknown of Ole Miss having some success against Alabama in the past I don't know. It makes it a little exciting. It makes it a little different than games in the past.
Because if there's any part of our defense that's slightly vulnerable, it's the young cornerbacks.
Right.
And so their strengths play to our weaknesses. But is it enough to get two or three scores up on us? And we also have an offense now that can come back from two or three scores.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's felt over the last few years that if we got behind, there was never a comeback. And certainly now it feels like scoring fast is something that we can do. I woke up yesterday morning at 5:30 to find my son watching the national championship game and highlights from it. And when you just watch that fourth quarter and into overtime, you see a team that can come back and you see
against
a team
a
that can
defense.
Throw the ball against a great defense.
Right.
I forgot how many sacks there were even into the fourth quarter and going into overtime. And so it's not like it was play after play that we were successful on. It's just the ability to flip the field with a 30-yard pass that just has not been there in the last few years. That ability, even if we get down on the road, have some shaky start, I don't think that they're going to be able to stop us, even if we struggle a little bit to stop them with some long balls.
Right. Well, you know, the flip side of Ole Miss is their defense is not very good.
It's not good at all.
And they gave up 41 points last week to an FCS team, I believe. So
yeah, the face I made was about you watching every snap of.
I did. I watched
games.
A lot
That's
of it.
Tough.
We had two TVs going.
But still,
We had Tennessee and ETSU on one, and we had on there, and then Alabama on the computer, obviously.
I think if I had 17 TVs, I wouldn't find a room for one of those games.
That's okay. Adam, I fully expect that out of you. 100%. I expect you to have
Pitt. But I'm also going to watch Georgia Tech.
I expect you to have Pitt on the big screen.
We all have our own issues.
Yeah. Truly and honestly, I think Alabama can score 50 or 60 again pretty easily.
Yep.
It's just how much is Ole Miss going to score right back? That is really –
The
big unknown. But Southern Illinois scored at will for the first three quarters.
Yeah.
I mean, it was back-to-back-to-back-to-back possessions that they were just going and dominating Ole Miss's defense.
Right.
So,
and what we didn't talk about this week at all is that it appears that Alabama has found a kicker.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Finally. And so I think my score here includes maybe a field goal or two that we make.
There we go.
And maybe no missed extra
points.
Yeah, I saw
a statistic this morning that Alabama has missed more extra points in the last two games than Auburn's missed since 2013.
Gosh, that's incredible.
That's Auburn has missed two extra points in 5 years. Alabama's missed three in two games.
That's incredible.
That's just absurd.
Adam, you calling for a made field goal. That might be the most fearless pick of the season
right?
so far.
A made field goal. No misses out of the kicking game. Yeah. No misses.
That's crazy.
That's my out-of-the-run pick.
We shall see. I think now, Ole Miss has a Hawaiian quarterback too.
They do.
Jordan
Tamu. Yeah.
And then Bama's got Tua. And I think that it's going to, these are two good quarterbacks. Alabama just has the better supporting cast on defense especially, but also, they both have good offenses. But I still believe Alabama's running game. I think Bama's going to run the ball a little bit more than we might have seen them just to sort of keep Ole Miss off the field a little bit, their offense off the field. But, in the end, Alabama – is a better football team by a long shot, I believe.
I'm glad you mentioned Jordan Tamu. He is a legit quarterback.
He is legit.
And Shea Patterson leaving that program, I don't think they missed a step at all, really.
No.
I think that was a win-win situation for everybody. Tamu can play just about with anybody, which is why that offense is so potent. And really is.
And he's got great receivers.
He does. He's got great receivers. And we keep going back to that because that's really Ole Miss's only chance to win.
Yeah.
Is to just score 300
today.
So, that's it.
I think your comment about the running game is interesting, Mark, because it may lead me to pick a smaller score. And you're right. The best thing we could do is just keep them off the field. And I don't think their D-line can do anything to us. Certainly, I think Damian could get a bunch of yards. And if we actually choose to do that, which we sometimes don't, get a few scores and then just run the ball for the rest of the day. And it would be a boring game for a lot of people, but gosh, that'd be a great way to win.
Yeah, and it's exactly what Saban would do
if
the running game's working and he just decides we're just going to beat them this way and
get a win and
run
get out,
clock
right?
and get out of there and come home. So
style points don't matter at this point.
Quickly, what score then? What score?
So I've changed my score. I'll take like a 38-16.
That's low.
38-16.
Yeah, well, I'm going – I'm going with a 56-32.
Yeah. All right, you took my number away. I was thinking also about 56-21.
I don't know where 32 is coming from. I just I don't know how we're going to get there.
10 field goals and a safety.
Yeah, it's possible. Maybe the tie defense bend and doesn't break. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we'll see anyway. But there's going to be scoring.
I was going to say 52 something, but you changed my mind.
You make a good point though, Adam, because I do think they're going to run the ball and they can run the ball on this team. And I think that might be sort of the strategy because Saban doesn't want to get into a shootout.
Right.
But they'll win. And if they have to get in a shootout, Bama will win this game in a shootout.
Right.
They
and
will.
Here's the deal. Yeah. The bottom line, they're not – Ole Miss students are not carrying the goalposts downtown into the square.
Yeah.
No.
The point
that's
is we can win it either way.
Yeah.
And that's the safe – that's the – I think the pause that we all have this year is like we can actually win it both ways.
Right.
Which
right.
is rare.
Absolutely. And Tua's going to have a field day out there.
Right.
No doubt about it. So we'll see, but hey, it comes up at 6 p.m. today.
Yeah, just in a few hours, right?
Yeah, and going to be after a full day of watching college football, that Vandy-Notre Dame game. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Can't wait. Well, I got Pitt and Georgia Tech coming, guys, so I got to run here real quick. But that's it for another show. Thanks to our great, great special guests, Meredith Cummings and Isabel, to our wonderful new producer, Imani Williams, and to all of you listening alongside us today. Much love to Orlando. As always, we will see you again on the radio next week. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.